99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up, we'll drink a toast of the weekend with a shot of the day. Then it's Bad Choice Friday time.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
Come on. And we celebrate Easter Sunday on a Bad Choice Friday with Depeche Mode.
You know.
Depeche Mode and Personal Jesus taking on the Doobie Brothers on a Bad Choice Friday.
It's like a battle of drugs.
Battle of drugs?
Depeche Mode is like, that guy's been doing some hard drugs.
Yeah, it's like, Personal Jesus.
All right. Then you hit the Doobies and it's like... Yeah, man. Jesus is all right.
Here, man. Take this.
Yeah, just like Depeche Mode, they're doing coke. They're smoking weed.
I don't know, man. Depeche Mode, feel like they're like shrooms or acid.
They might be on heroin. I don't know.
Could be.
Yep. They see, but you're right. Maybe they're tripping.
Well, I saw them at the Key Arena when it was Key Arena. It was a pretty dark show.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's Depeche Mode.
I don't know a ton about Depeche Mode.
They're one of those bands, you either like them or you don't. They have a couple songs I think are all right. Their overall catalog to me is, it's not my exact cup of tea, but I respect them as a band.
Sure.
You don't like anything else. Concert was great. I've also seen the Doobie Brothers. I thought they were phenomenal.
How could they not be great?
Aren't they coming around this year?
I believe so.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know if they're with Michael McDonald or not.
I think they would let you know.
They're with Santana.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
Well, sometimes Doobies go out by themselves. This might be their farewell tour.
So Michael, I'm almost positive.
Michael McDonald might be with them. If Michael McDonald is there, we're taking the day off.
Absolutely.
We are going to White River or wherever the hell that show is.
Yeah.
All right, vote now on those two tunes. If you follow us on X at Men's Room Live, one of those two coming up right after we drink and toast with the shot of the day. What is it?
I'm going to be in Europe. It's August 6th.
Oh, sorry. That sucks.
Maybe you should cancel your European vacation.
Yeah, he's going to miss the Doobie Brothers because he's going to be in freaking Europe.
Castle, we need the day off.
Yeah, you Griswold in that thing?
Well, I'm not going to go to Germany, but I'm going to Ireland, Northern Ireland, and then kind of up and down England a little bit.
Okay. We'll tell you how the Doobie show.
I'm going to see Sizz in Leeds.
That's right. He's living there now, right?
Yeah.
Wow. If you knew this guy, that does not make sense, but that's where he lives.
Our question, what did you wake up to or what woke you up? 206-803-RUN.
I mean, the guy literally joined the army after 9/11. He was so angry. He is probably one of the most like pro-American guys I've ever met. It is hilarious that he lives in England.
He lives in England.
Was that by job?
Oh, yeah.
I believe his wife has a higher paying job, so that's what
you do. Why not? Okay, go where the money is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, generally, I feel like that's how it works. It doesn't matter if it's a man or woman.
But he's already successful. How do you get a sugar mom?
Well, sometimes people just like love.
Okay. I've never experienced it. What did you wake up to or what woke you up? 206-803 Rock.
Hello, wow. Wyatt. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. How are you, man?
A little sad.
Doing pretty good. I'll save you guys most of the boring details on this one.
Most.
Pretty much went camping with my stepdad and my Uncle Luke and my Uncle Luke's girlfriend. And took some acid that night about 1 a.m. We didn't actually get to the campsite till about 1 a.m. It was kind of a mess. It started pouring rain, so I took some acid, cooped up in my car, and woke up the next morning at like 6 a.m., gunshots going over my car, wondering what the hell's going on. Well, our camping site ended up being a shooting pit, and nobody ended up caring that we were there.
Oh.
So that was quite fun, but still rolling off the acid. It's like 6:30 in the morning, and my stepdad and my Uncle Lou started up their dirt bikes, and I was only 17. I've never ridden a dirt bike before. So my Uncle Luke tells me, hop on. And I forgot, this man, you don't trust this man with anything. He's going like, we call it the piss missile. It's like a 250 two-stroke KTM all souped up for Supercross. He's going down these logging roads in Darrington like 60 miles an hour, it feels like. And I got no helmet on. I'm holding on for dear life on the back. He's taking corners, just full throttle, ripping it through it. I'm scared for my life. And finally, my stepdad caught up on his bike behind. He's like, Luke, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing to my boy? He sees I'm shaking from this. He's like, all right, you want to learn how to ride a bike? So they throw me on the bike, onto my stepdad's bike. It's a little bit smaller, but it's still a two-stroke 150. And this thing, it's not a good beginner bike. And I'm going for 30 minutes maybe on it, first gear, nothing wrong. I ended up stalling it on a hill, so my stepdad and my Uncle Luke are on the 250. They get up past me. They go, give it more gas, give it more gas. Well, I give it more gas. I end up whiskey throttling and pulled the front tire off the ground and slammed it back down. And at the time, we just thought I hurt my leg. We thought it was bruised or something. I couldn't bend it. It was really, I broke my tibia just underneath my kneecap.
Damn.
It was pretty bad. I couldn't bend it at all for like 2 weeks, and then another about week and a half just healing up after that in crutches. But for the rest of the 2 days on this camping trip, I'm learning how to ride a dirt bike with a broken leg, going hiking up, and there's no hiking trails out here. It's just logging roads. So just hiking up into the brush, you know, seeing what we find and just messing around. And I wish I had time to tell you guys about this whole trip, but I know that's why I ain't called today. The whole trip was a mess.
Well, it sounds like you're tripping more ways than one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think waking up to gunshots going over my car, that's enough. Time to go home.
We used to have a guy that we tried to fish on his property because he had a pond and he'd stock it with whatever he caught. And there was some huge-ass bass in there. We've seen it. You could see them on top. And we were going to throw everything back in. We had no intent of doing it.
Right, it's just the thrill of doing it, right?
But we had to army crawl through, like, the stream so he couldn't see us because it was an open field. And his house was up on top of the hill. Obviously, the pond is at the very bottom of the hill, so he can see. And then the stream filtered into that pond. And, man, we thought we'd pull this thing off. And we all had, like, those little tiny pocket fishermen that you used to get from K-Tel?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, we just had them like in our backpacks. We're like, all right, we'll just go in there, throw a couple casts in, man. Maybe they're not home, whatever. Next thing you know, we hear, doof, 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 doof. You can hear the buckshot going through the trees. And you're like,
all right, get out of here. Jesus, man.
He was just trying to scare us, but still.
Yeah, it worked.
What did you all wake up to, or what woke you up? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Anthony. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
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 Hola. Hey, what's going on?
Positive Friday.
Positive Friday. Yep. Hey, by the way, Ted, Dave Gann, lead singer of Depeche Mode, was heroin. He was called the Black Cat because he literally OD'd flatline twice.
All right. So
Ted nailed it.
Yeah.
You said heroin.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This guy's in a dark place. Talking about his personal Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty dark around that time period. I listen to him a lot. Anyway.
Well, I hope you cheer up.
Positive Friday.
There you go.
So, anyway, I woke up to a Polizei.
To what?
I went German police. I went out drinking in Germany. There was a small Irish bar that was right down by where my army base was stationed. And so I went out drinking there, and you had to go, like, down a hill and around a cemetery and down through whatever and around a park and something or other, and there you were. So I tied one on a little too much because I kind of blacked out. Most of my experience I had to from other people that knew me. Apparently I had been drinking a lot that evening and just kind of stumbled off to go head back. I made it as far as the cemetery, had to take a leak. I basically passed out flat on my back.
Were your pants down?
They were unbuttoned.
Okay. That's a great look, man. Great look in the cemetery.
It really is. You had a shovel beside you.
So there I am, and I'm getting this nudging feeling on my arm. I'm perfectly asleep. I'm having a great sleep right now. And I get this nudging feeling, and I look over, and there's these brown shoes and a greenish pants and a tan shirt. Now, that's the German police. They're a lot, you know, they talk about how the police are pretty whatever around here, you know, that they, you know, nowhere near what the Germans are. They have a stick with them that basically their baton has like a spring loaded in it. So they only have to hit you once, and the spring pretty much does the rest of the work.
All right.
They don't care. As a matter of fact, when I went through the briefing to Welcome to Germany, there was a line in the book that we got that said, and I quote, "Do not argue with the Polizei. They will beat you," unquote.
Okay.
Going back, got the brown shoes, green pants, tan shirt. I look up, and the first thing out of my mind, out of my mouth was, "Do you mind?"
How did that go?
Yeah. Well, actually, it went over not as bad as how I was describing it, thank goodness. I guess they thought it was hilarious. With Germans, it's really hard to tell. And they were like, wake up, you cannot sleep here. I'm like, can't sleep where? And they're like, look over, and I'm in the cemetery, passed out. They're like, get up. Okay, I get up, and they're like, you know, such and such. They get my name and stuff, and they're like, basically, if you can walk home, we're not going to arrest you. Okay. So I continued up that hill to go home.
Damn.
They probably deal with that a lot, I would think, if you're in the military.
More than likely.
There was a cop in the Munich airport, man. I fell in love. Do you see that girl with the blonde?
Oh, the blonde, yeah.
Oh, my God.
She outside?
Yeah, you saw her, too?
Yeah.
Man, oh, man. Went out there to smoke a cigarette. I'm just like, geez, a whiz, please. Do something bad, Miles. Arrest me.
So I threw a rock at her.
Yes, I flicked my cigarette at her. Just to see if she could touch me. What did you wake up to, or what woke you up? 206-803-ROCK.
That would be your defense in court. Your Honor, look, to be fair.
I just wanted her to touch
me. I was super horny. I just wanted her to touch me, man.
And she did. Sorry I flicked the butt at you, man.
Hello, Brock. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Brooke, sorry. Welcome to the men's room.
Oh, Brooke. Hola.
Yeah, it's Brooke. Hi, guys.
How are you?
Hola.
I'm good. Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you.
You're welcome to the show.
So my story, I know it makes me sound a little crazy, but there was one night that I had crashed out at my dad's house and I was visiting him and I fell asleep on the couch. And in the middle of the night, I don't know what it was, but I just like opened up my eyes because I felt like somebody was in the room. And I heard like a man's voice starting to say my name, but there was nobody there. And then all of a sudden there was like this blue wavy ectoplasm thing over my body. And it was like sleep paralysis, if you've ever heard of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I couldn't move. I couldn't talk. I couldn't do anything. And it was just terrifying. It was probably like 15 seconds, but felt like, you know, an hour. And after that, I just remember, like, when it was all over, freaking out, walking into my dad's room, trying to tell him that, like, I think there's a man in the living room or something, like, trying to explain it to him. He jumps up with a baseball bat, like, thinking there's a dude out there. But anyways, after that had happened, it freaked me out, kind of changed the way I thought about life. But then every few weeks at my house, I would get woken up in the middle of the night to this sulfur smell. And then the same thing would happen, and it would be like this shadowy figure. And so I, you know, started talking to like a medium about it and asked them to come to my house and take a look. And they said I had a demonic haunting that was following me around. So that was kind of a scary thing to wake up to a few times.
Really? Why would it be scary if someone said there's a demonic haunting following you around?
Yeah.
Do they explain why this thing would want to seek you out?
For the longest time, like, I didn't really tell people about it, and I thought I was crazy because just, like, you know, I mean, I believe that there's stuff we don't know yet in this world, but, I mean, I was a little closed-minded to, like, ghosts and stuff being real, but it wasn't until my girlfriend stayed the night at my house one night, and she smelled the sulfur, and then all of a sudden...
Wow, damn!
Let it all hang out, baby.
Here are the seven words you can't say on the radio.
Well, she asked the right questions.
To be fair, I would have a similar reaction.
I would have said the exact same thing.
Okay. Now, back to the program.
All right. What did you wake up to, or what woke you up? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Tristan. Welcome to the men's room.
Oh, my God. That's a dream come true. I've been wanting to do that since I was a kid. Wow. Awesome. all right. So... I was about 14 years old, living not too far outside of JBLM. And every now and then I could hear from my bedroom window the artillery going off at like practice or whatever, gun retorts, cannons, whatever. So I was used to that kind of stuff going on. One day, maybe 5-6 in the morning, sun's not even out. It's still really, really dark, but like the sun's starting to light up. I feel my bed start to shake a little bit. At first, I think, oh, okay, maybe a truck's just going on outside. I think it's trash day. And then my desk starts shaking. And then the floor starts shaking.
and I feel my walls start to shake and something falls off of my desk. My water bottle falls off of my desk. At this point, I'm up, I'm awake, I'm not hypnotized, or I'm not, like, dreaming, I'm not, like, on sleep paralysis, like, full on, my room is starting to shake around me. This goes on for maybe 10, 15 seconds, and then it cuts off as soon as it began. The weirdest part about it is that no one else in my house woke up. My mom is the lightest sleeper that I have ever known. She will wake up to me opening the door across the house and asking me what I'm doing. No one woke up.
So what do you think it was?
I do not know what happened. I have no clue.
Could be they were just doing underground munitions. Maybe.
I don't know about underground, but if it was underground, I'm sure someone else would have woken up. I asked my neighbors later on that day, and they didn't know what I was talking about. My best guess is, like, maybe a helicopter passed really close overhead for some reason.
Yeah, since maybe that, too.
But what do you think it was? Could have been Brooke's demonic presence.
It could have been like a big Chinook just blown over the top of your house.
But it is weird that no one else felt it or noticed it.
Right? That's, like, the closest I've got to, like, a supernatural experience, and I'm just, like, I can't convince myself it was natural or, like, at all, like, a military helicopter or something. I scratch my head about it to this day.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There's got to be a little suspicious around the military base.
Well, that's the thing, right? Just because you're around a military base, but the only thing you have, really, that goes against that is no one else was affected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what makes it weird. It's one thing to say, military base, but if I said to my neighbors, like, wow, dude, I don't know what they were doing.
Man, last night,
and nobody knows.
When I was a kid, and I kid like a teenager, right, there was like a naval, not base, let's say facility.
Right.
But it had a 9-hole golf course, right? So every time you drove over to Aspen Hill, keep in mind, Aspen Hill, I just looked it up, is 14 miles from College Park where I grew up.
Okay.
So we'd always drive by, and I would say to my dad, why can't we play there? And he's like, it's just for military members, blah, blah, blah. Then one day, our curtains blew in. Something blew up at that place 14 miles away.
Whoa.
You could hear it. It blew in, like I said, our curtains. And they closed that facility, I'd say, within 6 months.
Yeah. And they never told you what it was?
No. There was just these mountains of dirt that were out there. And then eventually they opened it up and just made it a public 9-hole golf course.
Oh, wow.
But those mounds stay there. They planted trees. I mean, they did it very quickly. So whatever it was obviously underground. But I'm
sure.
Like, what the hell?
Well, they used to make announcements in Baltimore. Like, look, Aberdeen Proving Grounds blowing crap up today.
Yeah,
just so you know, don't freak
don't
the hell
call
out.
Us.
Yeah,
we're letting you know.
Sadly, around noon or whatever.
I mean, sadly, they do it at Fort Lewis too. That's why you can kind of see the stuff coming.
Right.
Because you have the 82nd down there, and what was it, like a month and a half ago? They're like, heads up, we're doing nighttime training.
Yep. Our question: what did you wake up to, or what woke you up? 206-803-ROCK.
Is live on the free Odyssey app. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK from the Pinkies Plumbing Studio. You're in the men's room.
Return of Ted versus the FCC coming up at 4:35 right after emails on our question, what did you wake up to or what woke you up? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Justin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola.
So, I grew up in North Bend. Can you guys hear me all right?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay, cool. I grew up in North Bend, and I don't know if you guys are familiar, have been to the area. You know how wooded it is.
Yeah.
So we were, me and two of my best friends lived right by, up Mountside Road. It was, the first road on the left and right around the corner on the right. It's, right as you cross the Snoqualmie River, that we had three houses that were, two of my best friends. And we were always back and forth down at the river, camping out, doing whatever. And this was before we were drinking and partying or smoking weed or, whatever. We were about 12, 13. And so we decided to pitch a tent in, my buddy's backyard, and it's at the edge of this really big field, and it's about the size of a football field of grass, but it's surrounded by about 100 foot tall trees all the way around. And we got all jacked up off of, Red Bulls and sugars and sweets and whatever. And so we finally crash out. I want to say probably like 2 o'clock. I wake up about an hour later to this. To me, it was a monster. It sounded like I could hear it and feel it yelling and screaming and whooping and making these crazy noises that scared the bejeebus out of me. And it sounded like it was about 20 feet in the air, and it sounded big, and it wasn't, I know what cats make, what sound like mountain lions make. And it woke me up out of a dead sleep, and I'm freaking out, and I wake up my buddy. They're both my two best friends are asleep. And I wake up my buddy Connor. I'm like, hey, you know, yo, wake up, wake up, wake up. And he's like, oh, what's up? I'm like, dude, listen, you know? And he, you know, the look on his eyes was like, what the F is that? Because when I say I could hear it across the field, it was yelling. Like I said, it sounded like it was 20 feet in the air. And we tried to wake up my other friend and he just wouldn't wake up. But I mean, it screamed and yelled and whooped and made noise for about 30 minutes. And we were, shaking, you know, like.
Did your one buddy sleep through all this?
The whole thing.
Well, it was probably, dude, if you've ever heard of him, it was probably an owl.
No, I'm telling you guys, So, like, this stuck with me for a long time. And even the next day, I went and we went and talked to the neighbor because the field is shared with a neighbor. And the guy says, oh, yeah, maybe it was, my macaw. He had some bird that was in his house. Oh, maybe my macaw got out. I'm like, dude, your macaw didn't get out. This was a giant creature. Like, I don't know what it was, but it was huge. And so still to this day, I have no explanation, but it has stuck with me, and it's a story I have told kind of throughout the years. And I was telling my buddy about 6 months ago, and because we got to talking about Bigfoot and stuff and I swear to God, I tell him the story, and then he must have been on YouTube or something, and he plays a clip of supposedly somebody had, you know, recorded, or this is what Bigfoot sounds like. And I've never heard anything else like it to this day for the past 20 years, up until 6 months ago. And as soon as I heard it, I was like, that's it. And, you know, I did my research and I looked up, oh, maybe it was an osprey, because ospreys are big and make loud, crazy noises. I'm convinced it was Bigfoot yelling at us, because he knew we were at the edge of that field and camping out. Like, I'm convinced now at this point, like, that was Bigfoot.
Okay. Well, I mean, when you were talking the whole time, I'm like, this is going to be Bigfoot. Just because every sound you described, it's the sounds that people describe when they believe that they're hearing Bigfoot. So I figured that's where that was going.
Yeah. And it was the craziest thing. I can't, you know, I had no way of trying to explain what it sounded like. But when he played that recording, I was like, oh, my, you know, it made me give me the heebie-jeebies. And I was like, dude, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, the tough part is, where did somebody get a recording of a Bigfoot?
Well, I mean, people, they go in the woods all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't necessarily know what it is, but they say, like, look, this is what we believe it is. But all the recordings are similar.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all I can tell you, right? No one's really, like, seen it, but they play these recordings, and all the recordings sound the same. So whatever the animal is probably the same animal. It's just whether or not you believe it's Bigfoot or something else.
What did you wake up to, or what woke you up? 206-803-ROCK.
I'd like to see a photo of the foot.
When you say the foot, do you mean,
like, Bigfoot?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All
right. I'm just saying, like, the I don't foot. Know. Like, everybody in the
it's
woods.
It's still just two syllables. Even the nickname doesn't do it any justice. The foot versus Bigfoot.
Biggie. The foot. I mean, that's how I know.
The foot.
Yeah.
Hello, Amber. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bichola.
Hola.
How's it going?
Doing good.
Okay. So, this is back in the grunge days, in the 90s, and I used to throw epic parties. And I threw a humongous party, a rager, like 1,000 people, at a friend of mine's mansion when their parents were gone. And there was this one girl who thought her you-know-what didn't stink. And she was better than everybody. And she teased all the guys. And she was too good to drink beer. And we had like 4 kegs. And needless to say, my friend went and got a big bottle of tequila and proceeded to get her drowned and drunk. And the next morning, a friend of ours, everybody's passed out. There's still about 30 people there left over. This real, I'm not going to say who he is because he's famous. But I'll say this. He had the balls to go and take her panties off. She was still passed out. And he went in the other room and took a number 2 in it and put them back on her.
Oh, God.
Down.
Wait, he pooped in her underwear and put them back on her.
What is happening?
And so, and then.
What is happening?
And then, mind you, all we hear is her get up, and everybody's looking at her immediately because she's in the middle of this huge, huge house in the middle of the living room with, you know, 20 other people passed out still, halfway, just barely coherent. And I'm standing in the kitchen, and I look over, and we all kind of take a look at her, turn our heads, and she jumps up, and she runs to the bathroom, and all you hear is this blood-curdling sound. Corn! I don't even eat corn!
Oh, oh, nice. Damn.
Well, hey, what's for dinner? All right.
I gotta think of that, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, you ran with an interesting crew.
Wow. That's,
Jesus.
Did not think that story would go
feel
that way.
Feel better about growing up in West Virginia now.
Damn.
What did you wake up to, or what woke you up? 206-803-ROCK.
Who poops in someone else's underwear and then puts it back on the person?
Yeah. How do you even accomplish that?
I don't know. Hello, Brandon. Welcome to the men's room.
Positive Friday.
Hola.
Positive. So a couple of years ago, I was wandering around my yard. I don't remember what I was doing. I was high, really high. And I tripped and fell, and I perforated my palm on an engine block stud that's like a half-inch basically flat screw head.
All right.
And so I walked inside, and my wife and my daughter were there, and I went to the sink, and I went, okay, this is really going to hurt. And I turned on the water and put my hand underneath it. And then I woke up, and I was saying, the paramedics were there, and I was saying 69 because they had read off my blood pressure, and the diastolic was 69. And so they said my wife and my daughter were just pissed off because they were like, we thought you were dead. You had foam coming out of your mouth.
Jesus, dude.
And, yeah, so I passed out and fallen back and whacked my head open and made a 69 joke, and, yeah.
Still in that state, you have the presence of mind to be like 69.
69.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Here's a terrifying one.
By the way, if you just say the term, like, I'm just wandering around my yard, you don't have to tell she smoked weed.
We know. No one just wanders around their yard.
Right. You're either doing housework, you're sitting in the yard, you're doing, like, there's always something. But he's like, I was just wandering around. So that was high.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you're high when you're cold. What did you wake up to, or what woke you up? 206-803-ROCK. We get down to San Francisco. Muni passengers screamed in terror as they were jolted, some falling from their seats, when a light rail train traveled at an excessive speed while the driver dozed off and fell asleep, according to video footage. Now, video from the incident shows the light rail train traveling toward downtown San Francisco. This is at 8:37 in the morning, as the driver's head then drops, appearing to drift off to sleep. Now, as the train exits the Sunset Tunnel and picks up speed while rounding a curve, it jolts violently from side to side. The operator suddenly appeared to wake up and begins pressing controls before the train comes to a stop after skidding past one of its scheduled stops. Now, according to the San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency, the train was traveling 50 miles an hour as it navigated the curve, far above normal, as the average speed on that curve is 8 to 10 miles an hour.
8 to 10?
Damn. Ooh. Video from inside the train shows frantic passengers yelling at the train as it rocks back and forth. Some riders slid off their seats, while others were thrown to one side of the car from the sudden motion. The transit agency launched an investigation, determined the incident was caused by, quote, operator fatigue. But once awake, the operator can be heard in the video trying to calm the passenger, saying, I'm sorry, it wouldn't stop. It just wouldn't stop.
Right.
I'm sorry. Muni officials maintained that the train did not malfunction and that the incident was solely the result of operator fatigue.
Yeah. Yeah.
She is out.
Oh, yeah.
She is just dead asleep.
Oh, I've seen that video, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, her head's dropping the whole nine.
Yeah. I gotta be honest with you, I didn't know they were driving those things. I thought they were just kind of automated.
Oh, no, they're actually
controlling the... Like, I know there's a driver in there. Yeah. I don't know.
A buddy of mine, he's one of the local light rail operators. And all right. Now he's in a position where he trains them.
All right.
So he's like, oh, yeah, man, you're in control. And I'm like, how much training do you have to do? You would actually be surprised. It's like, if I put your ass in there, he's like, you would screw it up. Believe it or not.
Is there a time he could take us and go fast?
I want to. I'm sure he can't do it legally, so I'm just going to stop talking about it. Right. But I'll ask.
Okay.
Yeah, right? Like, it's closing down for the night. There's not that many people on it. We'll keep our mouths shut.
We told you there was a limited amount of foursomes for the KISW Miles Montgomery Golf Classic.
Of course.
At Redmond Ridge Golf Club. Just a few left if you want to get in on that. That is Monday, June 8th. Apparently, though, all of the listeners to this fine radio station are not on board with us having a golf tournament.
Nope.
So we get this audio. Danny sent this to us earlier this morning after this guy called in. But he is not happy about the fact that we are having a golf tournament because he does not believe that golf is, I guess, it is not his sport.
Correct.
Right. So to speak. So we could, let's play back that audio so you get an idea where this guy's coming from and maybe why he hates golf so much. I'm not sure.
So our phone screener, Dayton, rolled in and during the commercial break said that we have a guy on hold who's not happy with us at all. He's quite pissed, actually.
These are my favorite moments with Dayton when he pops in. He's like, hey, blah, blah, blah. It has nothing to do with what we are talking about, but there's a guy or a girl on the phone that wants to talk about X.
He's all heated over the Miles Montgomery Golf Classic.
Okay.
It's Josh from Bellevue. Josh, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Josh. What's...
Josh, I can tell you sound very upset.
What is the beef with the golf?
I know you guys are like doing that the stupid tournament for the guy on like the men's room.
Yeah,
Miles. But why?
What do you mean why?
Why not?
Why are you doing a golf tournament for your listeners? Like not everybody likes golf. In fact, I feel like no one likes golf, really.
I mean, I don't like golf, but I like day drinking, and I feel like golf and day drinking are kind of, you know, one and the same.
Josh, you realize it's sold out last year, so maybe... I love how when people say nobody likes something. No, you don't like it. I get that, Josh. But to say nobody, then who did it sell out to? A bunch of imaginary people?
I don't know. You guys might have like some kind of inside club or something. I don't know. I'm telling you, none of my friends talk about golf. My family doesn't talk about golf. It's just crazy. I don't know anybody like really excites themselves over golf. Like, hey, man, did you see that golf tournament yesterday? No, we don't say that.
I don't either, but I mean, I also don't get upset that there's a golf tournament.
I mean, I do get annoyed. Josh, I will say, I do get annoyed when my husband, or if I'm hanging out with my parents, my dad, they love to have golf on in the background and watch it.
Are they trying to take a nap?
I am. That's exactly what I do. Anytime there's golf on, I'm bored out of my mind. That being said, I recognize that a lot of people are into golf.
I don't understand.
Josh, here's my question. What I don't understand is like I maybe I'm taking it out on you, but like sometimes when people complain about something, I'm like, well, you just don't have to enjoy it. Like when they complain about X, Y, and Z. Like if I don't like a restaurant, I just don't go to that restaurant, and then I move on with my life. I'm not like going. I'm not calling them to tell them I don't like them anymore. Why are you so bothered by it that you need to call a radio station about it? Why not just ignore that part and not go to the tournament?
No, it's not even that. I listen to you guys. You guys are cool. I listen to you guys,
you.
But because I listen to you and you guys always talk about the tournament, it gets to me. It bothers me because, you know, other than the tournament, you guys are awesome.
That's our shortcoming right there, is the golf culture.
You know, I think we're doing okay.
And so, Josh, out of curiosity, if we were going to do something other than a golf tournament, would you want, like, I don't know.
That's a good question.
A pickleball tournament, a kickball tournament? What kind of tournament would you participate in?
I say chess. Do chess.
Chess?
Chess?
Chess.
Wait a second. Are you joking? Okay, now, dude, you're effing with us, right?
Are you a good chess player?
No, and any adult with a brain plays chess. Look at chess movies. Chess movies are famous. You don't have famous
what about golf
movies.
Happy Gilmore.
Okay. That's a comedy. That's Adam Sandler. That's different.
What is a good chess seriously. Movie? Tell me
in
about.
In fact, Adam Sandler made that movie cool. He made golf cool.
So does
Miles. He's not wrong.
Miles Montgomery's making golf cool.
Okay, well.
Well, what is a good chess movie? I don't even know any chess movies.
It's famous chess movies, and everybody who's. And they play chess in movies, like Independence Day, they're playing chess in the park. All these other movies, they're playing chess. Chess is a real man sport right there.
I'm assuming that you really liked The Queen's Gambit then, Josh. That was a great show.
Exactly.
I actually liked it too. My wife got bored by it, but I kind of dug it.
I mean, to be fair, I do a cribbage tournament twice a year, so I mean there is a market for some of these things.
Well, Josh, how would you feel if you had a chess tournament and some random person calls you up to yell at you because you're having a chess tournament?
That's because you're stupid. I just say because you're stupid. That's what I'll say. It's because you're dumb.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, Josh. We're still going to. The Miles Montgomery Golf Classic, sponsored by Pinky's Plumbing, is happening, and the tickets are available at KISW.com for everybody but Josh.
Of course it is.
Josh, did you know that somebody hit a hole in one off of a toilet at the tournament last year? Is that going to happen at a chess tournament?
No.
No, because that's the stupid thing to happen. That would never happen in a chess tournament.
Josh, your passion is unmatched.
How often do you play chess?
Every weekend I play chess, man. Like it's I've been playing chess since I was a kid, so I know it's huge. But the high school plays chess. Every colleges play chess. They have chess tournaments. It's crazy. That's a real thing.
I was a part of the chess club in high school. I lasted one day.
I was in the chess club in fifth grade. I lasted one school year.
I've never heard of a golf club. I've never heard of that.
There actually are plenty of golf clubs out
there.
That's
actually the tool that they use to hit the balls is a golf club.
Well, Josh, I don't know what to tell you. We'll work on the Josh from Bellevue Chess Classic. Yes. Maybe we could do it in a couple of months.
There you go. Now we're talking. Now you're speaking my language.
Josh, have a great day.
All right, how's it going? How's this morning?
Yeah.
On the Daily Mix morning.
I played JV golf in high school.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but he didn't.
But those high school golf? Those college golf?
Yeah.
You play golf for your entire life. You can play chess your entire life.
You can do both of those things.
Hey, believe it or not, there's sports I don't like. I just don't bring them up.
Mm. Okay.
What's a sport you don't like?
Well,
I mean, once you said that, it's like, right, that's a normal statement, but coming from you, I'm like, what would it be? Brother, you have the Willow channel to watch cricket.
I do. Big, right. Nice win from the Punjab Kings today.
And the fact that you morning. Know that today. Right, exactly.
I like rugby. I just don't watch it a ton.
Okay.
But yeah. I know the Seawolves are firing up this weekend. Mm-hmm. Or tonight.
Yeah.
So you still know that. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So we have an idea.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
We've got the Men's Room Return of the Red Party, Saturday, April 11th. That's a Black Raven Brewing. We're relaunching the red beer.
Correct.
So after we heard this, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do the Men's Room Return of the Red Party and a chess tournament.
That's right. Yeah, we already told Castle. He's like, all right, I'll get four chess boards.
If you want to come up and join us.
If you want to play chess. See, we Josh, hear you.
Josh, here you go, man. This is way too easy. It's way too easy to get four chess boards. If you want to play chess,
there you go.
The Men's Room Return of the Red Party. Maybe Josh will be there, and you guys can play chess.
See, then, we listen. We're okay. Like that easy.
Is that all right?
So now there's a chess tournament and a golf tournament.
Men of the people, right here.
Right here.
By the way, that's Saturday, April 11th. Doors will open at 1 for the chess tournament. Party starts at 2 until 6 with the price of admission in the ticket. You get a six-pack of the Return of the Red Beard to take home with you as well.
Yeah.
New originals playing. It's going to be a great time. And plus, I mean, how can you beat a chess tournament?
You can't.
Tickets are available now. KISW.com.